Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm excited for this next segment today. We're going to step away from basketball, football, baseball, the norm as of late here on the show, and we are going to talk UFC and MMA. And to do that, we always bring in a great friend of the show, Larry Pepe, who is an MMA expert and an analyst. Larry, first off, it's been far too long. Thank you so much for taking out the time to join us on the show today.
Pleasure's mine, Jordan. Happy to do it.
Well, there's been a lot going on since the last time we actually had you on the show in the UFC, and we're going to bounce around and talk about a couple of these key points. Right off of the bat, the biggest story, UFC 229, we get Khabib and the return of Conor McGregor. It's been a while since we've talked about McGregor in the octagon after the fight with Mayweather, and all the huff and the puff, everything that he's been doing outside of the octagon has been the big story around Conor. I want your initial reaction to this fight being announced on October 6th at T-Mobile Arena for UFC 229.
I mean, my initial reaction was I was surprised, quite frankly, because I didn't think that that Conor would be delusional enough to think he can beat Khabib Nurmagomedov, and apparently he is, as is those around him. Look, Conor is a great fighter in the stand-up realm, but he is not a very well-rounded mixed martial artist. When you look at his fight style, he has great movement. He has a great left hand, some decent kicks, nothing that has ended fights, but a good kicking game. But he has horrible wrestling, horrible grappling, horrible cardio, and Khabib Nurmagomedov is the exact opposite of Conor. So this sets up the classic striker versus grappler match, if you will, except the gap between Khabib on the feet and Conor on the feet is, let's call it on a scale of 1 to 10, a 5 or a 6, but the gap between them on the ground is the Grand Canyon, and I just don't see Conor landing the one shot that he will have to in order to win the fight. So I think Khabib is going to destroy him. I think he has a less than 5% chance of winning because he's got to cash that lottery ticket, land that one big shot, whether by punch or kick. And we've seen Khabib absorb punishment from other fighters, never been knocked down in his entire career, never lost a round, let alone a fight, in his entire career. And I don't expect it to go any differently on October 6th.
You know, it's interesting to me that McGregor, again, I echo what you were just saying about him stepping into the octagon against Khabib right off of the bat. I didn't know, Larry, if we would ever see him in the cage again.
And it's a valid question. You know, it's funny, Jordan, what would be 18 months ago when the whole Mayweather thing was brewing, and then when it got signed, and then when it happened, I was doing Pro MMA Radio at that time, and I said on the show, you may never see him again. And I had people reach out to me and say, oh, you're nuts. Conor loves to fight, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, none of us really know what it's like to wake up tomorrow morning and have $50 million or whatever insane amount of money he actually made from the Mayweather fight sitting in your bank account that wasn't in there the day before. And you don't know how that person is going to respond. And what we've seen from Conor, which I'm sure turbocharged your question as to whether we would ever see him again, is his behavior outside the cage has been unhinged. You look at the event in Bellator where he jumped over the cage and pushed the referee and interfered in a fight that wasn't even fully over. And he was out of his mind, and he looked like a man possessed. He slapped a Bellator official when they wouldn't let him come back in the cage to disrupt things a second time. You look at his behavior, there was rumors that he got in an altercation with a gangster in Ireland and people that you shouldn't be messing with. And then, of course, you look at what Dana White called at the time the most disgusting thing that's ever happened in UFC history, but of course they did nothing, when he picked up a steel dolly and threw it through a bus window, knowing that a dozen UFC fighters were sitting inside that bus with another dozen to 15 people as well, in complete disregard of those people's safety and their fight careers. Just days before a major event that had to get reshuffled completely, three fights were lost off that event because of his behavior. One fighter's face got all cut up. Another fighter had glass go into his cornea. And he was facing criminal charges in New York. And New York, my hometown, completely embarrassed themselves and gave him a whopping 5 days of community service and 1 to 3 days of anger management. And to be honest, Jordan, that is an embarrassment. It's a miscarriage of justice for someone to get that type of penalty when they acted in complete and sheer reckless disregard of the safety and well-being and careers of fellow fighters, let alone just fellow human beings. And then the UFC did nothing, as you would expect, absolutely nothing. So you see this escalating, enabled, unhinged behavior that will not stop because he has no reason to stop. He's getting every signal that he's above the law and he's above whatever the MMA law is. But retribution will be sought for all by one Khabib Nurmagomedov, and that is where I believe he will pay for his sins, if you will.
Again, we're being joined right now by MMA expert Larry Pepe here on the show. You know, Larry, this is kind of a little bit off the beaten path, but I'm a boxing guy. So as you're sitting there and you're going over everything that's happening with Conor McGregor, I can't but help instantly think about the latter stages of Mike Tyson's career. And I'm going back to the late 90s when he bit Evander Holyfield. We're talking about the Francois Botha era, the Louis Savarese era, as Mike Tyson was towards the end of his career, the Lennox Lewis ordeal in Memphis. You talk about Conor McGregor, and what you're saying I can directly correlate to a later stage Mike Tyson, and that's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing, and the crazy thing is this is a prime Conor McGregor. Like, he is in the peak of his career, perhaps. I mean, by the time he fights Habib, it'll be 2 years since he's fought in MMA. But, of course, he had the Mayweather fight sprinkled in there. But I look at it like this, Jordan. I think, you know, you look at Conor in this case like a child, right? And you know, you have kids, and if you let your child get away with this much, then the next day they go, let me try this. Let me go a step further because I got away with this yesterday. And if they keep getting away with it, the behavior will escalate. And in this case, I'm not calling Conor a child, although he's acting like one a lot, but the authorities, if you will, the people who should be reining him in, you would say first friends, family, people around him, because this is not good behavior. There's no universe in which any of this is good. But the UFC, the promotion, did nothing, absolutely nothing, for what they called the most disgusting thing that's ever happened in the history of the promotion. You look at the court in New York, the Brooklyn DA who embarrassed himself and the judge who embarrassed themselves and did virtually nothing. So you're constantly sending signals to the athlete, whoever the athlete may be, in this case it's Conor, that they can keep escalating this behavior and it's okay because they've not been given any signal otherwise.
I don't want to spend the whole time talking about Conor McGregor, but I have to get your thoughts on the laughable statement of Dana White saying that Conor McGregor is the most underrated fighter in the UFC. Comical, to say the least, right?
Yeah, I mean, comical, asinine, maybe he's got to get tested, maybe he was drinking, I don't know. But Conor McGregor, keep in mind, the worthless UFC media rankings kept him in the pound-for-pound list, near the top of that list, for the entirety of the 2 years that he will not have even fought. Whereas GSP, who is legitimately on that list and in the argument for greatest of all time, was kicked off the list within a couple of months after he took the middleweight title from Michael Bisping because he vacated. And keep in mind as well that on that list of the champions, Conor McGregor is the only one who, and this will shock people, Jordan, if they don't follow it closely, has never had a single title defense. He won two belts over in an organization in Europe, never defended either one, came to the UFC, he won the featherweight belt, never defended it, he won the lightweight belt against Eddie Alvarez, never defended it, and that's it. So the idea, when you keep him near the top of the pound-for-pound list, when you ignore how flawed he is as an overall MMA fighter, not as a striker. He's one of the best strikers we have in all of mixed martial arts as an MMA striker, not a boxer, an MMA striker. We saw he's not a boxer in the fight with Floyd. But MMA is multiple disciplines, and in the rest of the disciplines, he is not good at all. He's inept. So the idea that he is underrated is literally one of the dumbest things somebody who knows MMA could say.
I think it's the dumbest thing that anyone who doesn't know MMA could say, and I'll tell you why. There are individuals in any professional sport that even if you're not familiar with, Larry, even if you're not in tune with what's going on in Major League Baseball, there are particular names that you are aware of. I could sit down at a bar and I could have a conversation with someone who knows nothing about MMA. Nothing at all. And if that's the case, odds are they will tell you that Conor McGregor is one of the best in the sport. That's how someone becomes overrated, because it's a perception deal. It's not factual. To say someone is underrated or overrated, it's a perception deal. And this guy sets on a pedestal that is completely... I don't even know the word I'm looking for. It's completely overstated for any athlete in their professional sports, much less Conor McGregor.
And we have to keep in mind that this is an athlete who has not participated in said sport for coming up on 2 years. Like, if LeBron James had not played a basketball game for 2 years, could we still have him in the discussion of current best players when he hasn't stepped on the court, in this case, for sake of argument, since 2016? You would get laughed out of the building, Jordan, if you came on your show talking to fans about basketball and you were having a debate about who the best basketball players are, and LeBron James is in your cut. You're not talking best of all time. You're talking best now. And you're arguing for LeBron James being in the top three or top five, which is where Conor has sat on this list, this silly list. And then people are going to start calling you and going, Jordan, what's wrong with you? He hasn't played in 2 years. When he plays, you can talk about him being on the list, but he's not playing. How can you? And that guy is underrated?
Yeah. Hilarious. It really is. Like I said, it's a comical statement. Larry, I am running out of time. I do want to get your thoughts on one more quick storyline floating around MMA. The idea of Anderson Silva and GSP going toe-to-toe in 2019. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know that it will happen. In fact, I don't think it will. And when we have more time, when I come on in the future, we can talk about Anderson Silva's reinstatement with a one-year penalty from USADA under the infamous tainted supplement defense. Said supplement, Jordan, coming out of a compounding pharmacy in Brazil. And I would invite your listeners to go online and Google compounding pharmacy. You can go to pharmacist.com. Compounding pharmacies, general, I've never heard of compounding pharmacies putting normal dietary supplements together. Normally what they do is they mix unique combinations of drugs or medications that doctors prescribe, but maybe there's an ingredient in the medication that a patient reacts poorly to, or it needs to be liquefied or flavored for a child, for example. That's generally what they do. Why Anderson Silva is the fourth Brazilian fighter to test positive under USADA to go to a compounding pharmacy for supplements is beyond me. And if you're a tested athlete who already has a failed drug test in his past, as Anderson does, why you would risk to to get dietary supplements that you can go to Amazon or your local GNC or insert name here and purchase, why you would risk going to a compounding pharmacy for over-the-counter type supplementation is a mystery to me. It makes no sense to me. And as you know from our prior chats, I am not a fan of USADA. I do not think they do a good job. And now we have another exhibit that we can add to the list.
Larry Pepe, MMA expert, always kind enough to take the time to join us on the show. Larry, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Absolutely. I would say two things. One, on Twitter, you can go to @LarryPepe, last four letters, P-E-P-E. And I would invite your listeners to go to pepperadio.com, and they can just sign up by putting their email and their first name, and any appearances or episodes or shows that I do, they'll get a direct email rather than having to rely on social media, and it will give them the link right in their email box. We don't do any spam. We don't share anything. It is solely to keep touch with me and the things that I do.
Larry, always a pleasure. Can't wait to do it again. Thank you for the time.
Sounds great, Jordan.
Again, that's Larry Pepe talking some MMA here on the show. It's been a while since we've gotten his perspective. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back for the final touches on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports right after this.